Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 8 this morning. It's particularly verse 3 that we're going to be thinking about, but I'm going to read from verse 1 to 8. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one body, of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Okay, we'll leave the reading at that for now. And, so we began a few weeks ago now to start to look at this second part of Paul's epistle to the Romans. The first part, chapters 1 to 11, is mainly doctrinal, teaching us as Christian believers what we believe, particularly about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about the message of salvation, and all the implications of that. But when we come to this second part of this epistle, that is chapter 12 onwards, really, here Paul is showing us how we as believers are to work out our salvation practically. Because, as I said the other week, our faith should never be just a theoretical thing that is in our minds, a system of things that we believe, but we are to work out our faith in practical ways. And so Paul here in these chapters is showing us how we are to work out our faith, work out our salvation practically as our response to all that God has done for us in Christ. It's our response. In fact, Paul says it's our reasonable response to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to him, holy and acceptable. It's your reasonable service. It's not too much to ask, in other words, considering all that he's done for us. And so he starts there in verses 1 and 2 by telling us that as Christian believers, as those who've been saved by the grace of God and at a great cost, let's remember that, brothers and sisters, our salvation did not come cheap. Salvation is free to us, but we were bought with a great price. The precious blood of God's only Son, the Lamb of God slain for us. Let us never forget the price that was paid, the precious blood of Christ, who died sacrificially for us. And he says we should present our bodies, ourselves, in other words, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And that we should not be conformed to this world, its ways, its mindset, and its system, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, it says in verse 2. And so this is what we've been looking at for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I cannot stress how important this is, brothers and sisters, that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's paramount. Absolutely paramount. You see, over these next few chapters, Paul is going to be showing us how to work out our salvation, how to behave as Christians, what our attitude should be towards ourselves and towards one another and towards different groups of people amongst whom we find ourselves, beginning with the church amongst other believers. And so there in chapter 12, verses 3 to 16, he's talking about how we should be with one another as Christian believers within the Church of Jesus Christ. And then in the wider community, verses 17 to 21. And then coming into chapter 13, how we should respond towards human government and those who are in authority over us, whether we like them or not. Tells us how we as believers ought to respond to them. And so on over the next few chapters. And the point is, friends, in all these different situations and circumstances, whether we are amongst God's own people or whether we are amongst those who are not saved, whether we're amongst those who are not yet God's people, he tells us what we should be like, what our lives should be like. That we should be like Jesus. That's the point. So if you look at chapter 13 and verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And then in chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification, for even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Verse 7, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So in other words, in all these different circumstances we find ourselves, and different groups of people amongst whom we find ourselves, we're to be like Jesus. We're to be like him. To think and speak and behave as Jesus did. And see, the only way that is going to be possible is if I be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So that I start to think as Jesus thinks. So that I start to speak as Jesus speaks. So that I start to do what Jesus would do. And if anybody thinks that that is really too much for any of us to imagine, then Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So you want a role model? Jesus. You want somebody to follow as your example? It's Jesus. Every time. It's interesting what Paul says there, by the way. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Years and years ago, first car I ever had, actually. Heap of junk, basically. But I had a sticker in the back window. Don't follow me, follow Jesus. Right? But actually, if you think that through, isn't really. I get what, whoever wrote that, I don't know, but I get what they're saying. You know, he's the real example. But you know what? Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And what we have to remember, folks, is, you know, if you're a Bible Christian, you read in the, you know what Jesus did, you know what Jesus said, but the folks outside don't. And the only impression they are only ever going to get